This is the Let's Go Win podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.
What is happening, you guys? Welcome back to Let's Go Win podcast. I'm excited. This gentleman has a lot of energy and he is passionate about what we're going to be talking about today. Known across the globe as the Sales Energizer, Dan Jordan, or the Deej, is a true salesman and prospector who lives and loves the game. His superpower is taking businesses from startup to sale and training others to do the same. Dan hosts the Pitchman.live on Amazon and his own podcast, DJ Live, and is the author of three books, including the bestseller, Sales Proverbs. He has coached, mentored, and helped thousands of salespeople worldwide through his programs and keynote speeches. Dan himself has started, built, and sold six businesses, ranging from a deli, brokerage firm, to staffing companies and consulting firms. Dan the Deej, what is happening, man?
Oh my gosh, I am so glad to be here. I mean, you're matching me with that energy. You're just rocking and rolling today.
Well, brother, we are alive. I mean, ultimately, we can't ask for a heck of a lot more than that. But you and I share a passion about sales. So I'm just curious, we'll get started into how did you find your love for sales? Where does that come from?
Well, you know, I don't want to talk too much about my dad because it's the time that he died, and I don't want to start crying here. But my dad was like an immigrant from France. He lived in war-torn France. He's Jewish, and so he lost his dad in the Holocaust. It was like one of those things. And so when he came to America, it was like, you know, you won the lottery, baby. This is it. And there was no, you know, our neighborhood, there was no like there was no opportunity for middle management. I mean, that wasn't the goal. Everybody owned their little business. Everybody owned their own. Somebody owned the jewelry shop. Somebody, you know, owned the schlock house down the street. They would sell this stuff. You don't even have to know what the word schlock means, but to know what it means. I mean, it's just like, and so I graduated high school. And I did one of these lessons. My dad, he only had a sixth grade education, and he never gave me a lot of stuff. But the stuff that he gave me was golden. I mean, really good. Graduated high school. So he said, "So Danny, what are you going to do?" Little French Jewish accent. And so I said, "I'm going to get a job." I told him what I was going to do and all this stuff. And he goes, "That's good." He goes, "Danny, remember this. In this country," and whenever he was about to say something good, that's how he started it. "Danny, in this country, you get a job, you have one customer, and he's called a boss. And if he," and this is how he put it, "if he gets a wild hair up his tuchus and decides to fire you, you got nothing. You got goonish. But Danny, if you're a salesperson, you're a salesman, well, then you have 100 bosses, but they're called customers. And if one of them fires you, who cares? You got 99 more." But so what my dad taught me there, and we've learned it, you know, through actual circumstances, you know, before this point, is that, you know, financial security and life security and the enjoyment of life doesn't come by securing the right job. It comes by figuring out a way to earn an income anytime, anywhere, any place, and in any part of the world. Once you have that, you know, baby, you write your own ticket.
You know, it's interesting. Whenever you talk to, whether it's somebody that's immigrated to the country or certainly, they seem to have that, they understand that differently. My father-in-law would be the same way from Thailand. My mother-in-law from China. Like, they just feel differently about it. That is an interesting, your dad sounds like a pretty wise man. And I love the accent, by the way. But so he teaches you that, and then boom, you're just like, "I love business. I'm going into business for myself, and that means sales." So is that kind of where it all started?
Well, no, it never. Where it started was on a personal note, and I never tell this, but you know, being that we're practically family here, so my parents. So I'm like a family guy. I'm a mama's boy, the whole shebang. Well, when I'm a senior in high school, my parents decide to get divorced. And so I'm ticked off. So I'm blaming my mother. wrongly, by the way. I mean, I would have divorced my dad years ago, but I blame my mom, so I'm mad at her. But the biggest thing in her world was education. Got to go to college. You know, she was in Ivy League, the whole thing. You got to. And so somehow, you know, I wrangled the college money that they had dutifully saved their entire lives. And before they knew what hit them, I went out to the next neighborhood over in New Jersey. There's little towns right next door to each other. The only way you know you got to a different town is because there's another diner, you know. So I went to the next town over and I bought a butcher shop. And with that money, I turned it into a deli. And I ran that deli, and that was my first foray into business. And I ran it really well, but very quickly I learned that if you sit back and wait for people to come in, you're limited with your resources. But if you go out and knock on doors and say, hey, we're down the street, we could bring out, you know, we could do some catering for lunch, we could do this. If you go out, you could double, triple, and quadruple the amount of business you could do without waiting for them to come in. And then I said, aha, as my dad would say in Yiddish, aha, du lick the hint by Gruben, which means something. I have no idea what it means, but anytime he like made an aha moment, he would say that.
So that sounds like that deli, that would be your first startup to literally selling it. So I guess I'll dive in.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm listening to this podcast, I'm going, I don't have my father saying, aha, you know, this is what you should do. But you did. And so you create these customers. What is that the biggest thing to a business starting is really figuring out what your niche is, what your pitch is? What does that look like, Dan, in your expertise?
Yes. Well, I always say, you know, and I teach a lot of classes and actually even some college courses with people with business courses. And my first question is always, all right, guys, raise your hand. What's the definition of a business? And people will give me all sorts of answers, and they're very well spoken, and they're eloquent, and they're reasonable, and they're bookish, and all that. But no one ever mentions the one thing which it really is, and that is the definition of having a business is when you have a paying customer. And I learned that, you know, very early on, because people will invest hundreds of thousands of dollars to build their store and have a beautiful desk and, you know, have all their business cards and everything, you know, in a row. And then they open the door one day and you're like, all right, now what? And then you're sitting there and waiting for things to happen. I started this Amazon Live. So Amazon does, you know, everybody knows that they sell stuff on Amazon. You can buy anything on Amazon, but they started doing live streaming. And so I started doing live streaming, and I have a show on Amazon Live, and basically we do a show like this, but I get to play like Billy Mays every once in a while and say, check out this Vitamix, it slices, it dices, you know, I could do the whole thing. But, you know, our first month, we sold $50,000 worth of product. And I thought to myself, how much do you have to invest into a store and buy pay rent? And it's like, even if you're signing the lease, you're down $200,000 in 5 years. And then the build out and that whole thing. And then you open the door and you're like, where's the customers? And so, you know, the world has changed. But if you realize that, if you wake up in the morning and say, how do I get a customer today? You could have nothing else. But if you have a customer, you have a business. The opposite is not true. I got to go back to that story. You got me on a roll here thinking about stuff. And so now I got to tell you that story, that store, DJ's Country Deli, which is the first business there. I had that for 7 years. I sold that. I was 25. I sold that for $170,000. I bought it for $30,000, but with $3,000 down. I bought a business. It was a $3,000 down. And then I used that money for others. But I sold it for $170,000 cash. I told you my dad was an immigrant from France, and he was divorced by that point, never had any savings, anything. I took all that money. This is my proudest moment. All that money, I put it in an investment account. I didn't take a penny of it. And that money paid for my dad's retirement for the rest of his life. That's why people know that you need to go into sales. It's the only business in the world that you can invest, you know, literally nothing. In fact, people will pay you to sell for them. And you're able to create not just a life for yourself, but a fortune for your family and the people around you.
I mean, if that doesn't make you just kind of inside feel good, it's incredible. You know, you talked about your dad and sixth grade education to literally to pay him back, which you could never do. But that's pretty damn close. If you can set up a retirement account for your dad, that's amazing. So you go from the deli, brother, and yeah, you take a dime. What do you do after that? And then we'll get into some of the sales and some of what you're really an expert at. But where do you go from there?
Yeah, so I grinded out a little bit and I started a little, I'm in New Jersey. And when you're in New Jersey, all the money's in Manhattan. And so I started a little restaurant supply business in Manhattan because I had a bunch of contacts with the deli and doing all that stuff. So I said, I could sell this stuff. So I started a little thing there and I built that up pretty nicely. And then one day my friend said, hey, why don't you come down to Atlanta? We'll spend the weekend together and hang out. It was a buddy of mine. And I came down here and that's where I am now. And takes me to some party. And I'm like 27 at this point. Takes me to some party, meet some girl, you know, blonde hair, Southern accent, and, you know, bakes pies. I'm thinking this place is great. So I went back home. I talked to my business partners and my vendors and stuff. I said, and figure out and sold it. I moved here 2 weeks later and asked the girl to go out with me. Of course, she said no. And but I was here already. So what am I going to do? And so I kept on rocking and rolling. Eventually, that, by the way, you want to talk about a good sale. So I asked that girl out and she said no. And then the next week I asked her out and I jumped it up, always adding more value. We'll go to a different place. We'll do something else. Asked her out again. She said, I got a boyfriend, she keeps saying. I asked her out again. Finally, 6 months, 26 times she said no. On the 27th time, I had like dugout seats to the Met game at the Fulton County Stadium. I guess they would call it a Brave game here, whatever. And she agreed to go out with me and we've been married 25 years.
I'll be damned. Yeah. If that's not resilient and being able to take a couple no's.
Well, you know, it was a no, but it wasn't get the hell out of here. You know, it was a no with a smile. And I did ask her, this is a good teachable moment. I did ask her at the end, I said, why did you finally agree to go out with me? And of course, we were at the right age. You know, we were 27, 28. It was a good age. And she said, well, I figured if you were willing to work this hard to get me, you'd be willing to work equally as hard to keep me. And what I took from that in a sales point of view is it's flattering to be wanted. You know, a lot of times salespeople, they'll go after a prospect and, oh, I'm annoying them. Well, listen, if you're not bringing enough value, you're annoying them. But if you are bringing enough value, you're really trying to give them something. I'm going to give you the best life you could imagine. You'll never have a bad time with, you know, whatever I'm trying to give you. Man, it's flattering. And so if you bring it with honesty, it's a good place. By the way, she hasn't baked a pie since. So.
Well, staying on the feedback, because it's such a good point that, and I coach on this quite a bit, I don't care if you got the sale or you didn't. That feedback is gold. If you say, would you please just let me know why you chose to, or more importantly, why you chose not to. I'm giving you permission. Is that something that you use on a normal day-to-day basis in your sales practice?
You know, I say I use it and I use it a lot, but you know, most of sales is a mental state of mind. And so when I'm going good, you know, when I'm feeling good and all that stuff, and my armor is strong enough to handle a few blows, you know, I'm all over it. But I am human. And so there are times that you're not there. But what I always couch it like this. I say, listen, I'm from New Jersey. It's impossible to offend me. You know, go ahead and say no to me. But I really want to know the truth. Why are you not, Why are you choosing not to do business with me? And you literally, you can't hurt my feelings. And you really have to push them like that, because most people are nice, especially in the South. We have something called the Southern no, which is basically, okay, I'll get back to you. And then you're done, you know. Oh, that was good. That's really good. Okay, very good. And then you never hear from again. So, you know, most people don't want to say no to you. So you got to really push. And I had I had one circumstances when I had my staffing company. And I mean, I had like, it was impossible that he wasn't doing business with me. I could not for the life of me figure it out. And finally I said to him, so it was done. I said, listen, I'm done selling. All right, this is finished. I gave him my little pitch. You can't hurt my feelings. And he quieted down for a second. He goes, Dan, you're just too much. You're just too much. And I had a choice then, by the way. I had a choice to change for somebody who was not going to ever use me, or to keep my DJ on and attract the people that, like, you know, that are into that. And then that's what I chose to do. By the way, the Deej is a different thing. You know, that's my, you said my nickname. When I was in high, my name is Danny. So it's Danny Jordan. And so when I was in high school, there was another kid, Danny Deano, who was more popular than me. Tall, Italian, you know, muscles, olive skin. And so he kept his name. He was stronger. But I got my initials, DJ, which I loved because people remember DJ, and then DJ just turns into Deej. And then I learned something. And in every salesperson, I'm sure you talk about persistence and consistent pursuit of your goal. And you played sports, I imagine.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody plays. And there's times where sometimes everything just goes right. You know, when you're in the zone, when you just go right. Well, so When I'm going right, when I need to go right, when it's the last 100 yards of the race, when you really have to put on I have an alter ego. And the alter ego is not Deej. I mean, there's a million Deejs out there. It's just DJ. It's the Deej. And when I put that suit of armor on, you know, when I'm on stage, it's not me you're looking at. The Deej can do things that Danny Jordan could never do.
No, I think it's an important point. Sorry to cut you off. That was certainly not my what I was trying to do. But I will say, you mentioned something earlier in that, and you said you are human. When you take no's, there is a moment where if you're not right mentally, it's really a challenge to show up as your best self. What are some of the applicable things people can do? You talked about having that alter ego. That's actually one that I have used a lot of times with people back in the day on the phones. But what else can you tell people when personal life's not going great, had the flat tire, you know, the dog died, my girlfriend broke up, every country song happening? How do you show up and perform at your very best in that sales role?
Well, great question. And it's a long answer, but I'll, you know, and it's a long time to get to that state of mind where you could kind of flip the switch on a dime. But I created a little mantra, and this is my little trick for myself. And I say this mantra probably 30 times a day, some days more than others when you need it. Some days, I'm the world's best cold caller. I actually love cold calling. I love the whole thing. I love meeting strangers and making their friends. I love cold pizza. I love cold toilet seats. I love the cold, anything cold. Cold showers, the whole shebang. So, but sometimes your mind isn't right. And like almost in between each call, I have to do this mantra. So here's the mantra, ready? And it's actually similar to you because it ends with, I win. It starts like this. It goes, I lead, not follow. I believe, not doubt. I create, not destroy. I make the news. I don't watch the news. I'm a leader. I'm a force for good, force for God. Set the standard, defy the odds. I stand up, I take charge, I win. And then I make the call. I'm like a flipping animal. You can't say no to me after that. I completely change my state of mind. And I say, I lead, not follow. I lead, not follow. A person that leads, one of the other things my dad used to say, he probably stole it from someone else. But Danny, in this country, you act like the person you'd like to become. And very soon you'll see that person in the mirror. And so what does a leader act like? You know, and so all of a sudden you're there. What does a courageous person act like? There's a courageous person, you know, nervous about picking up the phone for someone to say no to them. What is that? And so, you know, I and one of them in there is I make the news. I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news. I make the news. You know, if there's something going to happen, I don't know. We'll make it happen. And so you've got to understand that you're in charge of your attitude at all times. My mom called me today or sent me an email and said, apparently there's something going on with the gas and all that stuff, that the gas stations, they're out of fuel and whatever's happening with the pipeline. And she says, are you having any problems? I said, I'm not having any problems. And she goes, what about all the lines? I said, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning. I go out at 4:30. Trust me, there's no lines.
Yeah. No, it's so true. I got to get back to this because it is, I call it a trigger. And what you've done is you've triggered yourself to put yourself in that best position to go win, whether it's a sales call, whether this is showing up as a father, whether this is showing up as a husband. You can use what Dan is talking about both in sales and in life. So I'm going to totally flip a little bit. Why does sales have a bad rap at times? Where does the negative connotation come from? Because you know as well as I do, there's many people out there, I don't ever want to do sales. I don't like salespeople, yada, yada. So where has that come from, Dan, and how can we dispel that?
Yeah, I don't know that you'll ever dispel it because, you know, people want to feel good about themselves. And so they have a vision of themselves, and they think if they ask somebody to buy something, or ask somebody to pay them for something that they're good, they don't feel secure enough that their product that they're selling is worthy enough. If they, for instance, if you have the cure for cancer, and I got the cure for cancer. Here it is in my hand. I got the cure for cancer. And you call somebody on the phone and say, hey, I got the cure for cancer. Do you want to buy it? It's the cure for cancer. You're going to feel guilty about that, doing that? You're going to make that person feel bad? So step one is you don't feel good enough about your product to go ahead and sell it. But if you do feel good about your product, everybody's in sales. I mean, most people that I do speeches, and I'm doing, like we talked about earlier, I'm doing live speeches now again, which is great. I like ad-lib the whole thing now. I'm just so happy to be there. I told Lisa this latest event that we just booked. I told him, here's the goal. At the end of this keynote speech, people are going to be happier that they work here. They're going to be better people, and they're going to thank you for having me. How we get to that point, I have no idea. You know, I'm just figuring out a way to get there. But always in these presentations, I ask how many people here are married, and you know, half the room or three quarters of the room, how many people have ever been married, and everybody's hand goes up. And I look at these people and I go, just think of that awesomeness. Just think, you managed, there's 7.5 billion people on the planet. You managed to find another human being who can choose anybody in the whole world. And not only did you get them to say, okay, I'll spend the rest of my life with you, but they forsake everybody else. Everybody's in sales. That's the biggest, just think of how, and to do that, you had to do all the skills that you try to train people. You know, you had to make yourself look good. You had to make yourself look like you were a good provider for the future. You had to ask, you know, I'm not a very religious guy. I think I'm spiritual and, you know, I've read the Bible, but there's one verse in there that everybody knows, you know. Ask and ye shall receive. You know, a guy ought to know that one. I mean, there's no qualifiers there. It's just saying, hey, just all you got to do is ask. So it gets a bad rap because a lot of people are chicken.
It is interesting because everything in life is sales. There's no doubt about it. I'm selling my wife on why I'm going to go play poker tonight. I'm selling, you know, my kids on why we don't want to go, I don't know, to something. I mean, we're always selling. I definitely understand that idea. I got to ask something because you said, I love everything cold. And one of the things you talk about is how to take a cold and turn it warm. How in the world do you do that? Because whether it's sales, it's meeting new people. How do you take that cold thing and turn it into a warm market or a warm feel?
Yeah, well, now we're in the zone, baby. This is my thing. I mean, because for me, that's magic. You say, why'd you get into sales? I think that's magic. Here you have, you start with, and it's almost godly because you take nothing and make something. You know, so here you have nothing. You're walking down the street. We're walking down the street and we see a house, a driveway that has snow on their driveway. And we say, hey, all I got to do is shovel that snow and I can make a few bucks. So from nothing, you can make something. Here's somebody who wants something. Here's somebody who has something to sell. I could broker a deal from nothing. You know, I make something. And that opportunity wakes me up in the morning. So I don't know where it is, but I know there's opportunity somewhere. If I just can find the problem, I'm sure I have somebody else who can fix it. So when you say, turning something cold to warm, that's basically, you know, prospecting. And so how I look at prospecting or how I look at cold calls as to not to take it personally at all, I picture it like a billboard. You ever be driving, you're driving down the highway and you see a billboard for a Subway sandwich for $5.99. It's a tuna fish sandwich, a big thing, but it's 8:30 in the morning. I don't want a tuna fish sandwich. So you drive by the billboard. Do you think the people in the Subway are like pouting? They're on their knees crying. We just lost another one. Look at that. They're just driving. Look at that. All right. Now they don't care about the people that drove past. They care about the people that say, you know what, I'm in a mood for a tuna sandwich. Let me go. They care about that person. So when you're cold calling, I'm not trying to sell anybody on a cold call. I'm just trying to find out if you want a tuna fish sandwich. If you want to do it, maybe we have a chance. You know, maybe we have a chance. And I probably can get you to smile. You know, so you warm things up, it's with a smile. It's one of the reasons I moved to Atlanta. I used to play this game in New Jersey because I'm a smiley guy. And so what happens if you see somebody and you smile at them, what do you think happens?
They smile back.
They have to. It's the law. I mean, that's what happens. You smile. So I used to play this game. I would walk down the street. I'd smile at somebody. They smile back. I get a point. I never lost a point in New Jersey. You know, I came here to Atlanta. I'm walking down the street. Somebody smiles. How y'all doing? Like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I lost. I have to move here. I mean, it's nuts. But it turns out people could hear a smile on the phone. Turns out if you walk into a place cold and say something like this, hey, I wonder if you can help me. I'm one of those pesky salespeople. Don't I look it? As you say that, they're going to smile and laugh. And it's impossible. It's impossible as long as you're human. This doesn't work with lawyers. It's impossible to be in a bad mood when you're smiling. And so, you know, that's the secret to get things. So like it, just enjoy the fact that you could win that game of making somebody's day a little bit better.
I love it. I love it. Let me ask you this, just because I'd be remiss as people listening going, well, I want to be better at sales. What is the biggest mistake you see salespeople make where you're like, oh, that's a killer. What do you see? And that's really the big Achilles heel for the majority of sales folks that are struggling.
Yeah. Start selling before they've bought you. You know, people will buy like Jeffrey Gidmore always said, people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. And so don't worry too much about how to sell. Worry about why people buy, because people hate to be sold. And so if you go in selling, you've already lost it. Okay? So figure out why they want to buy. And so it turns out people buy for four reasons. And so there's only four. They buy because they like you. That's number one. Number two, they buy because they trust you. And by the way, which one do you think is more important? I asked this question in rooms of 100. And let's say, and I'll ask, you know, which one is more important? What would you say?
Trust.
Yeah, trust. Most people will say trust. And then I always say, now just the ladies. And then I ask the whole group of people, I say, how many of you ladies have ever gone out with a person, a second date with a person, a second date with a person that you didn't like at all, but you trusted them. It's like, so when I talk about that smile first, now it very quickly moves to trust. Don't let me, you're not wrong by getting the people to trust you. It very quickly goes to trust. But if you don't have the like, your foot's not even in the door. You don't have a chance. And it's a big problem with new salespeople because they go into, you know, talking about their credibility. So it's like, trust, and then believe you. So when the belief is, that's where you show your proof. That's where you have your resume. That's where you have, we've been in business for 14,000 years and we have 9,000 employees, all of which are going to ignore you at some point. But whatever you say, that's number three. Most people and individuals, when they're looking for a job, they lead with number three. They lead with their resume. They don't even stay. By leading with number three, with trying to build credibility, you're basically forced yourself into a pile and you're just waiting for somebody else to come on top of you and someone on top of you and someone on top of you. So you're going to get lost in the shuffle. You're going to just drift along. And if you drift too long, you become a drifter, which necessarily isn't so bad. But here's the thing to remember. You can never drift your way to the top of the mountain. You always get stuck on the side. So they like you, they trust you, they believe you. And then the last one is a desire to do business with you. And so if you have like, trust, and belief, you've already made the sale. The desire is when you're like on an interview and they're like, man, we just filled that position. But stick around, maybe we can find something for you. You know, or have you ever stopped a car and bought lemonade from two girls on the side of the road?
Of course.
Of course you did. Here's the thing. You weren't even thirsty. It's not like you're like, man, I could really use some watered down Country Time lemonade. It's not like you were craving this thing. You were doing it because you had a desire to do business with two cute little girls on the side of the road.
No, it's fair. It's 100% accurate on that. So I want to get back to, you talked about having clients, and obviously in this world we live in today, social media is a big part of that. So how do you use social media to really benefit you and your business? Because I have to imagine a guy like yourself taking somebody from starting up to sale, this is a big part of the game at this point.
Yeah, well, see, most businesses that we work with, the owner is deeply involved in the business, but usually deeply involved in, he's the number one producer. He or she is the number one producer. It's like without them, you know, they knew these people, their relationships. And so the business really can't be sold because, you know, you're basically buying, as soon as that person leaves, it's no business anymore. And so we build that sales system around that the owner doesn't need to be in there. And social media is a major, major component for that. Not necessarily as much right now for sales. People less and less are believing, you know, buy this now. And wait, don't act yet. We get a free oven mitt if you do it in the next 24 hours. So you're not going to, it's not necessarily for that anymore. But what social media is really, really beneficial and necessary. And every single one of our clients, we have a social media program where they have to put out videos and products every day on several different sites, every single day, fresh. It's not for making sales as much as it's for validation and confirmation that you are really in that business. And so someone makes some outreach, they see an advertisement, they see a billboard, and they say, what is this about this company? Let me check them out. And then they see tons of videos, tons of social media, tons of content, tons of value. And they say, these people are real. Let's go with them instead of somebody else. And so it's a terrific opportunity because most people won't do it. I put out myself. I do a video every morning, a tip of the day. By the way, if anybody wants to just follow me on LinkedIn or go on Google, danjordan.com, or just find me. I'm all over the place. I get on my newsletter list, but a video every day, a tip of the day. And I can't tell you how all over the world you get business from that. And, you know, they see it. You're consistent and you're persistent and you're fresh all the time. And so when they have a need, who else are they going to go with?
Yeah, that's a great point for sure. I'm curious just because, again, if I'm listening, I'm watching you, you have a real, whether it's zest for sales or life, what is your secret, brother, to just waking up and just going, I'm going to go win the day today? Like, is it the mantra? Is there, what else are you doing to really, because you're making videos every morning, you got a ton of energy. What, how do you get going the way you do every single day?
Well, first of all, don't try to be like me. It's the worst thing. You know, you got to be literally your best self. I have energy. That's my shtick. And I like the mornings. And so even as a kid, I wouldn't go out drinking at night because I didn't want to miss the birds in the morning. I just like the birds in the morning. That's just, you know, that's natural right there. But I am a big proponent of goals. And I've always had them, and I've always kind of done them, and I've always read them. I got it right here, you know, and I read it, you know, 10 times a day with the goals. But one of the goals is to get a certain amount of coaching clients in a certain thing. And to do that, one of the action steps was to do a video every day. And so it's ingrained. It's not like I think, oh, I got to get up and do this video. It's like, I get to get up and do a video today. I can't wait for another day. Or when you start earning some money on, there's a lot of sites, there's a lot of, projects that you could sell and things like that, that overnight, all of a sudden some money comes in, you don't know where it's coming from. It's exciting to wake up in the morning. I used to have I used to be a stockbroker. When I started to learn, when I came to Atlanta, I wanted to learn, how to invest because I had all that money with my dad. So I became a stockbroker. My dad used to have the 11th commandment, which was never pay retail, you know? And so instead of, you know, paying money to learn how to trade stocks, I became a stockbroker. And so they paid me to learn it. But there was a guy there, Stan Firestone, and Stan Firestone used to come in at 6 a.m. and he was loaded. I mean, he was an old time guy, and he had great, really high net worth clients. You know, I talked to him. I said, why do you come in the morning? He goes, Danny, let me tell you something. Every morning I come in here, I know that there's $5,000 sitting on my desk and I want to take it. You know, that was his goal. And so he would do it. And that's why we get in very early. But I have certain goals that I'm going to meet. And to do that, I just wake up in the morning. What time do you get up in the morning?
Usually it's about 5:45 is my normal wake up time.
Yeah, you're right in the same wheelhouse. If your want is big enough, you find you need much, much less sleep. You know, when you're first in love, you don't sleep when you're in love. You know, it's like you're thinking about it all day long. You're trying to figure out what's going on. You're working out. Oh, I got 41 minutes between there and there. I bet you I can make it. You know, and you start figuring all certain ways. You get total control over your calendar when you're in love. Okay, I got get out at this time. I'll wake up early and get gas. You can figure all that stuff. You gotta want it badly enough. Most people don't. Don't want it. That's why I love the kind of like Eastern European immigrant in your face, make it happen. Streets are paved with gold. Let's go do something. You know, this is our chance. Let's make it happen in your face type of person.
Although you clearly have wants and you clearly have succeeded with the doing your show, the books, selling all these businesses. So what didn't I know enough to ask that you're like, JM, I got to get this to your audience before we finish up?
Oh, that, as we talk about that Amazon thing, and I was excited. I sold, you know, $50,000 worth of products in a month. And then I was, you know, thinking as I went to bed, I go, Amazon themselves sells $50,000 worth of products like every second, 24 hours a day. It's incomprehensible how abundant and how much opportunity and how much money and good feelings and just opportunity is out there. It's almost inconceivable. there are times where you feel like you're living in a paper bag. And every once in a while, someone's going to poke a hole in the back. And every once in a while, you can see out. And it's invigorating. I got to tell you this one story that you didn't know. So when I had my deli, DJ's Country Deli, I had it for about 4 years. And my friends were coming home from college, telling me all sorts of stories, moving on with their life, moving into the city. And I'm like, man, I think I missed something. What's going on? And so I said, you know, I'm going to do something I always wanted to do. And I set the store up with a manager. And I said, I'm going to go hitchhiking around the country, but I'm going to do it right. And I took no money. This was before cell phones. I'll do no money. I was just going to get jobs along the way. And I was going to have my experience so I could find myself. And I have great stories that I can tell you. We don't have the time for that now, but I will tell you this one. And that was, I was in Texas. By the way, Texas is, I mean, huge. I had one guy pick me up on some highway. It was towards the end of the day. And he picked me up and he goes, son, the only reason why I'm picking you up here is because I saw you walking on the same road when I was going to work 8 hours ago. It's just big. And so I was there. And sometimes you just want to walk. You know, that was my goal. I had a backpack. I'm there, you know, I'm feeling good. So I said, let me just walk. I would walk all day. And there was one moment where I was like stopped in my tracks. It was like there was an invisible brick wall in front of me. I was stopped. I was pinned to the ground. It was like there was a nail in the top of my head all the way down to the ground. I couldn't move. And it was like a spiritual moment, I guess. I don't know. I just started crying. I was just in a place that I've never been for. And then it just like all cleared up. And I had this like overwhelming just feeling of peace that if it all ended, all the luxuries, all the conveniences, if it all went away, I was okay. And I've been trying to find that feeling ever since. But I'm convinced that there's something more than just air that I'm looking at right here. And when you can tap into that, man, it's easy to wake up in the morning. It's a good place to be.
That's a place to continue to seek, brother. And maybe you find it, maybe you don't, but what a wonderful journey you're going to continue on. Where can our listeners connect with you online, Dan, to find out more about what you're doing, what you're all about?
Yeah, well, just look me up. There's a new website out there called Google, and just put Dan Jourdan. Remember, Jourdan is Jourdan. And link in with me. Send me an email, dan@danjourdan.com. Get on the newsletter list. Play around. We'll be friends forever.
Guys, check him out. I mean, the guy's got a ton of knowledge, a ton of energy. If you want to take a business that you're thinking of, go from startup to sale. He's your guy. Dan, thanks for being here, brother. It was a lot of fun.
This was great. Best podcast ever.
See, there's the sales thing coming out right there. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I mean, I'm literally looking at my page of notes. I can't wait to go apply some of the stuff Dan talked about. In the meantime, if you're looking for just something to get you kind of caught up every single day, go to Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, go pick up Champions Daily Playbook. It's $10. It takes you about 2 to 5 minutes a day. I promise you'll get a ton out of it. And until next time, continue transcending life. We'll talk to you then. Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to letsgowinpodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Let's Go Win Podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.